Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Okay, so Israel saying, so sorry, sir, but we're going to have to retaliate against Iran. Donald Trump just left the NATO summit. He's trashing both Israel and Iran, telling them to calm down. And then on top of all of that, he's insisting that he did destroy permanently and irrevocably the Iranian nuclear whole program, all of it. And that's one of those things, depending on what news source you're taking in, you get a completely different story. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who gets the he's seen the intel, the U.S. intelligence, says internal U.S. intelligence, this was late yesterday, contradicts claims that Iran moved nuclear materials before President Trump's weekend airstrikes, which the senator believes severely damaged, if not completely destroyed, Iran's nuclear capabilities. Satellite imagery taken prior to the attack. The stuff circulating on social media anyway, revealed trucks surrounding Fordo and allegedly poised to haul away all the nuclear material. The senator rejects that, says that it wasn't moved. Israel and Iran are claiming that Iran moved the material. Mullen saying, nope, our intelligence report says they didn't. In fact, we actually believe they stored more of it in Fordo because they believe Fordo was impenetrable. They thought we wouldn't be able to do it. Because, you know, it's 300 feet underneath the mountain, and there's, like, basically a bunker in there, too, beneath the mountain.
So he thinks that those trucks were inbound bringing stuff to Fordo, not trucks taking things out.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So what he says, I'm just telling you what he says. I don't know what to think at this point.
No, and it's going to be some time before we find out, if we do ever find out for sure. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, important classified information. We shouldn't be— I mean, I think the American people need to know what's going on, but I'm just simply saying we need to be careful about not revealing sources or whatever. I mean, you got Israel. Israel has boots on the ground there in Iran, all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, as you were talking about last hour, they're slipping notes under the doors of the Revolutionary Council, letting them know you might want to think about leaving.
Yeah. One of the deputy like agents that's in control of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard just turned out to be Mossad. That was hilarious. Like that's been last 48 hours. So they have so deeply infiltrated, you know, the Iranian forces that, I mean, it's just absolute chaos right now.
Well, they're like Hezbollah and Hamas. They don't know who to trust.
No, they don't. And that's why Israel is, you know, gradually tightening the news. I'll tell you what Trump's doing right now. It's so obvious what he's doing this morning. Ceasefire. Okay, when Trump is saying, ceasefire and, hey, let's come to the negotiating table, he's only doing that because he knows Iran either won't or they'll go right on bombing so that Trump can then go to the rest of the world. Look, I tried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at me. Here I go, trying to peacefully resolve this.
Yeah.
Iran should be able to see this by now. Trump is not trying to get to peace. Trump is trying to set you up to look like the chump. So that when the bombs start falling, he can go, well, it's not my fault. Look at them over there. I gave them 60 days. He's doing it again. It's the 60-day dance.
Yeah.
And I gave him 60 days. This is 60 day 61. What did you expect? You know, and so, and he's doing this because he doesn't want the liberal mainstream media the world over to start pounding on him and say, look, he just bombed them. He didn't try diplomacy. And Iran keeps walking right into it.
That can't be brought up. I mean, that's just a false argument saying that Trump has not tried diplomacy. This administration has, at least publicly and I believe behind the scenes privately, done everything he can to try to reach a diplomatic solution. I think it's pretty obvious when you consider the amount of flights and personnel the Trump administration has been putting in and out of, you know, whether it's Qatar or wherever that they have been negotiating. They've made every effort to try to get something done. I think substantive efforts.
Yeah, and the reason Trump's doing this right now, he's, you know, trashing Israel and Iran.
That's
and
for
saying,
public consumption.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know what they're doing. The key piece of news there to understand what's happening is Israel has told Trump Look, we're going to go ahead and bomb them in response to the killing of that family of four. They hit a bomb shelter. We're going to go ahead and drop a whole round of bombs. And so Trump is distancing himself from that right now. That's why he's trashing Israel. I guarantee behind the scenes, he said, sure, fine, go do it. Yeah. But he doesn't want to be a part of that. So he's this is how Trump does it. He lets Israel off the chain, let them do his dirty work while distancing himself. Israel knows what he's doing. And so he's trashing them. But that's because Israel is about to go on a bombing run. And look, when the Assad shows up at your house and leaves you handwritten notes on your front porch that you have 12 hours to choose. You either renounce the Ayatollah and quit the military, or we're going to kill you. Those aren't idle threats when the Mossad does that.
No, that's pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah, they follow through. That's why they're so people are in such terror of them the world over. And so that's already happened to the second tier of Iranian leadership, the second tier, because the first tier is dead.
Yes.
Right. And so that, and they did phone calls too. They did personal phone calls. And that just came out overnight to, you know, to the wives of the second tier military leaders, or to them personally, or they got personal hand delivered notes. You got 12 hours.
I've also been hearing intel that it's very difficult to get hold of the Ayatollah now, that he has done away with any type of electronic communication devices, and that he is only communicating through one trusted aide. And also there's intel that he has already notified the next Ayatollah search committee of his three recommendations. Seriously, his next three
recommendations. I'm sorry, just the Ayatollah search committee, the way that you put that. It's just funny to me. Ayatollah search committee. Anyone want to be an Ayatollah?
Yeah, exactly.
No, not me. I'm fine. I'm good.
That's like looking for the next Hamas commander. No, thanks. I'm good.
Exactly.
I'll go back to the food line in Gaza.
Yeah, let somebody else do it. So that's it. Trump distancing himself says, like, basically hell is about to rain down on Iran. And you could see that coming. Israel has everything they need. I mean, again, Iran is doing what Iran does. Iran is doing what Gaza does. Iran is doing what Hamas does. They hit civilian targets. Whereas the U.S., when we hit Iran, but also Israel, has tried their best, hasn't been perfect, but has tried to hit military targets. Iran doesn't care. They go right for let's kill the maximum number of civilians because it's who they are. And so Israel has everything it needs right now. To go, you know what? No, thanks, but no thanks, sir. We're going to do this. Meanwhile, I just want to read this headline, okay? I don't want to predict or anything. I just think this is interesting. NATO, Lee, this broke. It's about an hour and 10 minutes now ago, UK Daily Mail. NATO sounds alarm over massive Chinese military buildup and potential for Taiwan invasion.
That does not surprise me one bit. I may have said something about this last week as this was building up, that look for China to possibly do something now, because we're so focused on Russia, Ukraine, and Israel, Iran, that China will look at this as an opportunity. And that concerns me greatly, because that's the real danger here. If you're looking at something that could set off the whole World War III scenario that folks are worried about, it's not Israel, Iran, it's not Ukraine, Russia, it's China, Taiwan. That's the issue.
And if that's what's happening here, and it's really hard to tell, because if you look at China, China has moved military assets like this before. They've been doing it over the last couple of years, where they'll totally do flanking moves around Taiwan. They'll completely surround Taiwan. They'll cut off all traffic. And you won't know, is it a military exercise to practice for the invasion of Taiwan, or are they actually taking it? And then at the last minute, pull back, or they'll stay there for a while, but they won't. So they could theoretically be doing their largest military exercise ever, flexing their muscle, because they were just humiliated by Trump. I mean, they've just been kicked out of the Middle East.
Well, and there's another strategic issue that has not been getting any attention in this country that is concerning me greatly. The leadership in South Korea has changed. It is now a president and a government that is wanting to get closer to China, not the United States. The situation in the Pacific Rim with the U.S., Japan, and South Korea had been very strong, obviously Taiwan and the Philippines as well, and somewhat of an alliance with some of the Indonesian nations as well. But with South Korea now getting closer to China and further away from the U.S. strategically, that's a serious issue. That's a serious problem.
It is. And yet, and I'm probably the only one who's going to see it this way, there's a tremendous opportunity there for Trump. Trump has always wanted to fight China economically, not with bombs.
Yeah.
And the problem that Trump has is that He's got all of Wall Street against him. All the shiny shoes are against him. He can only get so far with China. If you want to get to what will finally crush China and has a chance of toppling the Chinese Communist Party, then you need a 500% tariffs. Mm-hmm. We need to cut off trade because, yes, we're 20% of their trade, but we are 50% of their revenues. Mm-hmm. They will not sustain it. They will not make it. You're going to have 30 million people in the streets. You already had people burning down factories. The best shot we have of defeating China without a shot and anybody getting killed, we're going to have to defeat them. We cannot allow them to be the world's lone superpower. That is already beginning to happen. We have kicked them out of the Middle East. The best shot we have is to collapse Chinese Communist Party. Through, and I mean, the Chinese Communist Party has said where they're going to go with this, our people will eat grass for a year. We're not capitulating to you. Well, let the people overthrow it. Let them take out the Chinese Communist Party. Maybe they won't do it. Maybe they'll fail. We don't have another way forward. And it takes something like China trying to take Taiwan to give Trump the excuse to say to Wall Street, look, the auto industry is just going to have to not, you know, they're going to have to suffer for a while. We're going to have to do without the rare earth minerals. And that's why Trump lost that trade negotiation last week. He had to capitulate to China. And all they did, Lee, was take the rare earths away from three of our top auto manufacturers. Yeah. And Trump had to relent and say, okay, mm-hmm. I'll let the students in. All 500,000 can have visas. So he lost that round. That's why China's emboldened. But what Trump needs is an excuse to really sock it to China, and maybe they'll give it to him.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Love this song. Okay. Sorry, I had to hear that drum roll all the way through. It's taking me back to the 80s. Okay. Meanwhile, folks, do you have this thing? I have it. You'll smell a smell, and you haven't smelled that particular smell in a long time, and it'll be a smell from your childhood that's associated with good things, or maybe bad things, but, you know, for me, it's good things. And maybe because I had a great childhood. I was very lucky. And all of these memories from your childhood will come rushing back through your brain. Do you know what I'm talking about? I have several like that. One of them is roses. My grandma in Utica, New York had this wonderful rose garden. It persisted many, many years after she died. That's how well she took care of it. And that house didn't have any air conditioner. So you didn't need it. And the summers are pretty cool there. And so, but they had the, you know, the bullet-like breezeway through the house. So they'd open both doors and the breeze would go right down the middle. The houses are built like that. And the whole house would smell like roses. I associated my grandma with the smell of roses. And man, I smell that smell and it just comes back. And those memories from your childhood are so vivid. They're like more colorful than your adult memories. I don't know why. Maybe everything is so big and new in the world. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of the smells for me are not what you would think. Cigarettes. Love the smell of cigarettes. Why? That is the smell of comfort to me. My mom smoked. Right. It's got to be fresh cigarettes, okay? Can't be old stale cigarettes. You know how cigarette smoke goes stale after a little bit and then it's a terrible smell. No, that won't do it. It's got to be fresh cigarette smoke. Like my mama hanging over the sink because we didn't have a dishwasher for a very long time and she's washing the dishes when I'm little and she's got that cigarette dangling from her mouth. I loved that woman. That's the smell of her. And so it's a good smell to me. Another one, this is going to sound weird. Okay. Old people smell, you know, old people smell. It's not a bad smell, but it is a distinct smell. Do you know the smell I'm talking about? Old people smell. That I have a great association between that and my other grandma. She very much smelled like that. And apparently it's a real thing. It's not just a mix of like mothballs, decorative soaps, cabbage soup, unwrapped butterscotch candies. It's a actual body odor. It's not hygiene related, so it's not dirty or anything. I don't think it smells bad, but it is a distinctive smell. That's one of the comfort smells from my youth too. Well, they figured out what it is. There's a compound called 2-nonenal, N-O-N-E-N-A-L, nonenal, that's created by chemicals in the body breaking down over time. So old people secrete 2-nonenal. That's what you're smelling. and it produces that smell, which for me is the smell of comfort, my grandmother. Well, now they have discovered you can do something about it. Eating mushrooms up to four times, I love mushrooms, they're no big deal, up to four times a week might help eliminate it, especially shiitake, oyster, and button mushrooms. That's because there are two rare compounds found in them, spermidine and ergothionine, and they work within the body to combat the formation of two nonenol. Now, if you don't like mushrooms, there's mushroom extracts you could try, or possibly adding more legumes, peas, and soy to your diet. Actually, scratch that. I'm reading that. Don't add soy to your diet. No, you don't need an estrogen bomb. Get the soy out of your diet. But yeah, so some options for that. See, every time I talk about this, I get so many great texts that I love reading because so many of you have a smell like that. Texter writes, my grandmother's biscuits and cornbread. Yep. Texter writes, Tara, we are old. We can't smell ourselves. Now, the texter writes, we all have pheromones. We've just become desensitized to them. Oh, here's one. Mine is tires. My parents worked at Michelin. Now my husband works there. Does he come home smelling like tires? Can you bring tire smell home? I know what you're talking about. It's just a regular smell, but he comes a comfort smell to you. Texter writes, my grandma cooked cheese toast and sprinkled sugar on the toast. And we drank coffee. It's so delicious. Definitely going to do the same with my kids. Yeah. Another texter writes, Tara, in order for China to attack Taiwan, they have to gather their forces. That's a target-rich environment. Again, I'm not saying that's going to happen. Please don't misunderstand. I'm just reading you, you know, when the head of NATO says, hey, you know, there's a massive military buildup right now, China, Taiwan area, and it's Mark Rutte, head of NATO, and he's saying they may be, you know, building up to an attack. I'm just telling you what he's saying. And that just broke, so you're not even seeing it on your TV yet. But it just hit from the UK Daily Mail. We'll see. Meanwhile, looks like Alan Wilson is going for it. You often hear him on the show. He's our attorney general. He's running for governor. It's official now. Nancy Mace is not officially announced to run for governor, but she has publicly stated she is seriously considering it, and she'll make a final decision in the coming weeks. So we maybe hear from her, Pamela Yvette, lieutenant governor. She may be very nice. I hope she's different from Henry, the single most useless governorship I think I've ever seen, which is really a stretch. Just after Nikki Haley, you'd think, wow, what a useless governorship. Could a governor be more useless? Yes, Henry McMaster. He literally uses the governorship as a social office, going around to ribbon cutting. So Pamela Yvette cuts ribbons. We'll see if she wants to do anything else. Going to be interesting. Is there going to be a hardcore conservative getting into the race? They say Josh Kimbrough may do it. He's been all over the map. So has trended more right-wing lately. We'll see. But that governor's race will be fun to cover. I'm looking forward to it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Okay, yeah, so upstate South Carolina State Senator Josh Kimbrough also announcing he is running for governor. That's 20 hours ago that came out. So Alan Wilson and Josh Kimbrough are in. You know what this looks like to me? Looks like Tim Scott's not getting in. That's been the word on the street. Tim Scott was looking at it, seriously considering it. A lot of folks who are in the know telling me, then if he doesn't get in, then all these other people would get in. So you're watching Kimbrough and Alan Wilson, the attorney general of the state of South Carolina, get in. So that to me says either Scott's not getting in or they've just decided they don't care. They're going forward with it. So it's going to be shaping up to be an interesting governor's race. I'd like a governor who's present. I've said for a long time, now that Ron DeSantis can't run again, maybe he could run our state part-time from Florida. He'd do a better time part-time. Just 12 hours a day. Would be a vast improvement over Henry McMaster, who is an absolute disaster. So I got to tell you, me personally, anyone Henry endorses, I'm going to have a very hard time voting for. I don't know who that's going to be. They're all going to compete for Trump's endorsement. Trump's endorsements in South Carolina have been an absolute train wreck. I mean, if you tried to pick the absolute worst people to endorse, that's what Trump did. And I mean, we basically have a bunch of liberal Republicans who are going to handicap the state for years to come. So I don't know what a Trump endorsement's going to do. Texter writes, Texter writes, I have a reverse smell memory. Back in the 80s, McDonald's had an excellent chef salad that I love to eat on my lunch break. And I would listen to Paul Harvey while eating these salads every day. Now, anytime anyone mentions Paul Harvey or hear his voice, I can smell the ham from that sandwich. Smell is a very strange thing, the way it works on your brain. Just for me, if I smell something, it brings back the memories. I don't know. All right. So getting back to the serious stuff, though, I know that's why you tune in. The good news is this. Iran is in a very weak position right now.
Well, I think President Trump will respond decisively. I mean, I think he's going to make very clear to the Iranians these are the terms. They are in an extremely weak position. Both Israel and the United States can act, as I said, with impunity against them. And so it is beholden on Iran now to start becoming a more responsible partner here. They have been given every opportunity, both before this war started, to engage in diplomacy, and now the president yesterday offering them the opportunity to come to the table and come to terms. Now, his patience, as we've discovered, is not infinite. So this better shut down now. And they better come to the table in the mood to make concessions so that we can get to the end of this war.
Yeah, it's not happening. That's not happening. Meanwhile, Democrats and John Kerry trying desperately to save Iran. When you hear these interviews, the message is being sent to Iran. If there's a way you can hang on, we will help you if we get power back. Here's John Kerry. And you can listen to this and see why Iran ended up off the chain, firing at us over 300 times, our ships, our military, causing over 150 catastrophic injuries, brain injuries to troops from proxy drone attacks, killing three of our troops with almost no response from Joe Biden. You can see how Iran ended up off the chain and Trump has had to clean up the mess. Here's John Kerry, whose job it was to handle Iran.
I mean, what's important to remember here is there's no military solution to this. This can go on and on. It could get uglier and uglier and more dangerous with greater and greater implications for a global basis. I think President Trump needs to clearly take the higher ground of getting back to the table for the simple reason we don't have any visibility anymore. Insight or real the depth of insight that we had with the nuclear agreement that we put in place. I mean, with the nuclear agreement we put in place, we had huge insight as to what they were doing. We had stopped them from developing in whole sectors. We destroyed.
Yes, we had huge insight. We were watching them develop the bomb and doing nothing. But we knew what they were doing. Yeah, so we stopped. Did you hear this guy? Maybe he exists in another time-space continuum. We stopped them? Really? We stopped them. You stopped them. Uh-huh. Well, then what do we blow up this weekend? Even Russia was out to going, yeah, they've been developing nukes for a while. They totally have a nuclear program. We stopped them. But folks, delusion. I mean, I'm talking at the level that should probably be medicated. It's so much fun. He continued. Again, this is the guy doing negotiation with Iran, not just under Joe Biden, you remember, but when Trump was in office, Kerry was running over there and telling them, don't make a deal. No, we're going to help you. Just hang on. And they did. Talking about the Democrats helping them.
Remember that we brought five nations and the United Nations to the table. And we put in place the strongest nuclear agreement that has been agreed to by any countries anywhere in the world since the 1950s or 60s. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to get to a negotiation.
We had the strongest agreement ever. It was really cool. Yeah, they got nukes. Pretty much. They did. You know what? This is, he's on CNN, okay? And she doesn't even believe me. You could hear her. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So what does Joe Biden's chief Middle Eastern advisor, he's the National Security Council advisor for the Middle East for Joe Biden, Brett McGurk, what does he think of where we are right now? I mean, I know Kerry had this great agreement and everything while you know, Iran mocked Democrats and kept enriching uranium and all. But what does Brett McGurk think? He says we are now in the best place we have been.
Look, bottom line, this is about the best place we can be. I give extremely high marks to this national security team and President Trump for managing this crisis and given where we are. But now let's follow through. There's a chance for diplomacy here.
Okay, what's going on? First of all, so Brett McGurk saying we're in the best place we've been. Yeah, we have an upper hand. That's what we have. But now have some diplomacy. What is he trying to do? They're all trying to save Iran. Well, we got to go with diplomacy. Let me translate that for you into English. Please don't kill the Ayatollah. No, we can totally rebuild their nuke program with more pallets and caches. We need diplomacy. Don't kill the Ayatollah, please. There, I translated it. Oops. Results so good, even Democrats can't deny them. Jamie Metzl, National Security Advisor for President Bill Clinton, just tweeted that Kamala Harris, had she been elected, would not have the courage or fortitude to do what Trump did on Iran. He tweets, I served on the National Security Council under President Clinton. I was Joe Biden's deputy staff director of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I voted for Kamala Harris, and I've been a vocal critic of many dangerous and undemocratic actions, he writes, taken by Trump, which is to say none, but whatever, he's a Democrat. But I'm not a blind tribalist, and I'm perfectly comfortable praising President Trump for bold and courageous actions in support of America's core national interest, as he took tonight. This is what he's saying about Trump taking out three reactors. Nuclear sites, better way to put it. Iran has been at war with the United... Thank you! Iran has been at war with the United States for 46 years. Its regime has murdered thousands of American citizens. Its slogan, Death to America, was not window dressing, but core ideology. It was racing toward a nuclear weapon with every intention of using it to threaten America, our allies, and the Middle East region as a whole. No actions like this come without risks, and I imagine the story will get more complicated over time, but that's why these types of decisions are complicated. He says, although I believe electing Kamala Harris would have been better for our democracy, society, and economy, as well as helping most vulnerable people in the United States and around the world, he also writes, I believe VP Harris would not have had the courage or fortitude to take such an essential step as the president took last night. No. And folks, this goes for all of the presidents of the last 45 years. It really is remarkable what Trump has done. And it's really remarkable where we are. And a lot of people don't appreciate it. Here's Victor Davis Hanson.
Well, Israel has done the unbelievable. If we had this conversation on October 8th of 2023, we would have said the very idea that they're going to take on the formidable Hezbollah legions, that they're going to destroy Hamas, that they're going to neutralize some of the Houthis, that they're going to cause the Assad dynasty to flee, that Russia is going to be out of the Middle East, that Iran is going to be defenseless. No one would have believed it. Their only problem, Israel's, will be overconfidence. After the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur surprise happened. After their success since then, we had October 7th to the day 50 years later. I don't think they're going to get overconfident anymore. As far as the United States, they have restored the deterrence that was lost by Joe Biden in a variety of ways, but most spectacularly in Afghanistan. So it's a very tense situation. No one can predict what's going to follow. But for right now, things are much better now after Saturday night than they were before.
Amen to that. Yeah, it is amazing what Israel is doing. Okay. Meanwhile, folks, this is getting ridiculous. It's going to come to a point where, and this is what they're trying to do. Trump's just going to have to defy these judges. Okay. So the good news. Yesterday, Donald Trump wins a major Supreme Court victory. Huge. And the Supreme Court not only says, okay, we're going to let you for now deport these illegal violent gangsters. If their countries won't take them because they're illegal violent gangsters, we're going to let you deport them to third countries. In other words, yeah, you grew up in Guatemala, you're a citizen of Guatemala, but we're going to send you to South Sudan. Enjoy that. We hear it's nice this time of year. Yeah. So he's going to be allowed to do that. Well, Democrat panic has set in. Okay, again, that was a Supreme Court ruling, like the top court in the country. Yeah. The Biden judge, Brian Murphy, who's only been on the bench for 6 months, he was rushed through in a lame duck session, just ordered the Supreme Court ruling null and void. Now, you may be asking yourself, can a district federal judge do that? No, he cannot. He cannot do that. But he did anyway. He wrote, and not in crayon either, I checked. He wrote, like where he drew little pictures, he wrote that the Supreme Court's ruling, while valid, does not apply to Donald Trump. What, some other president? And ordered that he return the highly valuable, extremely precious, illegal immigrant, future Democrat voter and gang members back to the country from the tarmac on which they were parked in South Sudan. Can he do that? No. He's actually the second judge to do that. Judge Boasberg, when it was ruled by the U.S. Supreme Court, he did not have the jurisdiction to tell Trump to bring home St. Kilmer, Brigo Garcia, the Maryland man, and patron saint of wife beaters everywhere. When he was ordered to bring that illegal immigrant back from El Salvador, which ironically is his home country, so that's weird. Supreme Court said he didn't have jurisdiction to make that ruling. He's just a district judge. Boasberg says he did. And is still working on trying to find a way to appoint a special prosecutor to go after the Trump administration officials who defied his orders, which he said, even though they are unconstitutional, he didn't have jurisdiction. He says Trump and company should have complied with because reasons. You'll see the reactions to this. Holy crap. Judge sidesteps SCOTUS. That is exactly what he just did. He just defied a Supreme Court order. Okay. What is going on here? It's two things. Two things the Democrats are doing. They desperately need Trump to defy a judge so they can carry on with their dictator narrative. So Trump's going to have to, they're setting up a situation so extreme that Trump will have to defy it. That's going on. But they also, there's precedent is huge. And so they've just given other lunatic Democrat lawyers and judges precedent, a case they can cite, even though it's bogus. So they're doing that too. Anything to hold on to their illegal immigrant, gang member, future voter, human traffickers for another minute. Anything it takes.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.